Now, we're going to take up a text today that is going to be very challenging. Okay? So we are going to look at a text which I really hope it will be a real blessing to your heart, but it is a very, very challenging text. And what is that? It has to do with the government. Okay, so you know, whether you're pro or you're against, we're going to read the Lord's Word instead and ask ourselves what that is. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for very much wisdom to be given to us to understand how we should apply our faith in our life, not only with reference to gifts, but with reference to things that sometimes we struggle with. And so we pray, Father, that you will open our understanding and most of all, to learn how to read your word properly, correctly, and submit ourselves to you and your word. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's take a look at text. And the word here is with reference to authority. And that is always a bugbear with many, many people. And okay, so the challenge would be let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, that is a word that we need to look at carefully and ask ourselves, how do we interpret this particular text? Okay, and this is really, really challenging. Just finished reading the life of Nelson Mandela. And you know, he actually spent 27 years. That's 27, 3 years short of 30 years in jail. Now, it was a really difficult time. Now, that is absolutely amazing. Of course, you have Gandhi as well, having to struggle with what they had to struggle with against the British government. And so we have to ask ourselves, you see, when we talk about things like that, we always ask ourselves, how do I see the government? Well, I don't like the government. And then we badmouth it. The question is, are we even right? So let's read this text very, very carefully. First, let every soul be subject. And the word let is not a suggestion. This is an imperative. In other words, there is a direct commandment here. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we do when we don't like and can we be free to say whatever we want against? Yes, you may, but you will be walking in total disobedience to the Lord's word. Now, that is something we need to deal with. Right? So this is an express commandment. This is called a third-person imperative type. In other words, there is a direct word here. The word here is an order. Here is a commandment, no mistaking it. So whether you like it or you don't like it, you have to do it. Okay, so the doctors were told some years ago, you have to attend courses. Like it or don't like it, that's a different story. A lot of people, you know, go attend courses, they don't learn anything anyway. But I have to fulfill all these things here. That doesn't work, does it? Question is, how do we really want to obey this word? You can obey it and, you know, look at it at, on the outside, external. We'll still be in your disobedience. The key word is to ask yourself, what is it? Okay? The word here is the word subject. The word subject here is the same word as you are under orders. Okay, now this is important. So here is a person who is a commander. So when the commander gives a command, what do you expect from the soldiers? Do I have an option? So KK, when you used to be a colonel in the army, when you tell to your lieutenants and to your majors, well, captains, would you like to do it? You can't. You expect to be obeyed. Same word. You have no choice. I just hope that we understand it. So the question is, how do we practice this? So Paul argues it from the standpoint beginning. Let's look at the argument here. Number one, no authority is there except from God. Second, the authority is appointed by God. Wow, that makes it a double whammy. So what are you against? The government? No. You end up going against God himself. That is your problem. Right? So this is something that we need to ask ourselves. How do we understand this? Now, this is something now we have to set, understand this in the light of in the first century. This is Israel. Israel was subject to first level, the king. Whether it was Herod or it was Antipas, it was under a monarch. How did these guys become kings? They go to the emperor Rome. Okay, would you appoint me? If you appoint me, I will guarantee you so much tribute. Whichever offers most the best to Rome, that fellow will be appointed king. That's how it works. So it's corruption all the way. And Herod is brutal. He really is brutal. If he wants to give an order to slay babies, he will. And you can't stop him. And the government, Rome, will not look at anything else. Okay, you do what you need to do. That is the government. And we're supposed to obey? This is a real challenge. Right? Now, Paul goes to jail. For what? Trump up charge. He goes to jail and he says, my chains are in Christ. What is going to lead? Spartacus? Rebellion? Submission. You see, this is where we have to ask ourselves whether we are practicing scripture, faith, obedience to the Lord, or are we free to do whatever we like? You see, when we choose whatever we do, whatever we like, we are going to run up against the Lord himself. Now, this is important for us to establish right from the start. Okay? You see, this is a question, and every country struggles with it. And I read, this person, Nelson Mandela's recent one, because it's a world famous situation. Can he spend 27 years in jail? And so when he came into power, the African ANC thing came up. You know how it is with ANC. I mean, let's face it. It's a very, when it was there, starting, the ANC was feared and despised. There were people who were against ANC. It was this group of guys, and they were saying, are you ANC? And they said, no, we're not. You are lying. They took them to the hostel and shot them because they were under suspicion, you are ANC. This is the African, this is a political group that was coming up. Today it's established. But that is the murky past. What do you do? Right? So Perón, Evita Perón, you know, they always don't cry to me, Argentina. Everybody thinks of it as a wonderful musical. And it's a horrible musical because of the story behind it. She even went up to the Pope. She was given half an hour because she's head of a wife of a head and asked him, can you make me saint? She traveled everywhere with a priest to absolve her from her sins. She has a group of people called the Brown Shirts. Right? And she murders everyone who knows about how sordid her past was when she was younger. Are we going to see all kinds of abuse all over the place, and yet the word is still submit? That is the hardest expression of what real faith is all about. See, we like to feel what, you know, I don't agree, I want to badmouth. You sin against the Lord, like it or not. That is a sum total of it all. That is a very difficult thing to want to say, because the word authority comes up again. Look at verse 1. Every soul be the government authority, number 1. No authority except from God, 2. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God, 3. Whoever resists the authority, 4. Resists the ordinance of God. See, let's read it. 4 times the word authority comes up to establish something. So what do you want to do? You want to go against the Lord? Go ahead. Because the Lord cannot bless when we walk in such total disobedience against the clear, definite word of the Lord. You see, we jeopardize our own soul. We jeopardize our own very life if we don't understand this part of it. And that is really, really challenging. Right? How do we do this? I think this is something that we want to ask ourselves. What do we do next? You see, you can practice it perfunctorily, or enter into the spirit of it all and say, you know what, I'm going to honor the Lord. Because I will recognize God, His hand, His ordinance, His authority, or go against God. Me, nothing doing. I will not go against God if I value His grace, His mercy, His word, His authority. So I will submit myself to the Lord and His word. This is a very clear biblical position. To me, if other people who are non-Christians are Gandhi's approach, ahimsa, no violence, no matter what. Martin Luther King, the same thing, when he marched all the way to Washington, 100,000, 500,000 people, we shall overcome. The people threw beer bottles at them, throw rocks at them. What shall we do? They're angry. Some of them are rednecks. Nope, we will pray and trust the Lord instead. That is tough. Richard Wurmbrand, same, under Romanian rule, went to jail many years. Why? Went to jail many years. All oppression. What is a Christian thing to do? We practice understanding faith. This is faith. Obedience. I think this is important. So if we were to understand this properly, what is our faith like? And our faith must say, this is what God is like. This is His authority. This is given by Him. And you know what? I'm just going to obey. Now this becomes an important word. Okay? Now, look at verse 2. Verse 1, appointed by God, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Do you want to risk that? Me? No. Because ultimately, it will be the Lord's own word against me. And that is the last thing I want to do. Now, I hope this helps us to understand these things here. But we still have to go back to how do we understand this. And I think one of the most classic examples is actually David. So let's look at David for a while, and we'll see this. And this is the practice of it all. Okay? Right, let's look at this very carefully. And David had to learn along the way many things. And 1 Samuel chapter 24, for example. Okay? And this is important. So here is David. Whenever he mentions the word rock, you've got to remember 1 Samuel 23. That word rock is called the rock of escape. Right? So it's a reference to the Lord, a reference to the rock of escape. It is expression over here. And this is important. Today, when we mention the rock, we think of somebody else. So he's quite a different person. Okay, here, chapter 24. Right? So he met on the rocks of the wild goats, chapter 24. And then the man of David said, They even cited, this is the day which the Lord had said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. You may do to him as it seems good to you. He may even cite so-called spiritual truth. So David arose, listened to it, cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now you may ask yourself, how come he can cut off his robe? Now, of course, you have to ask yourself what happened. Okay, verse 3. So Saul went in to attend to his needs. In other words, nature's call. All right, so no need to say too much. So he went in to attend to nature's call. So when you do attend to nature's call, you don't wear your kingly robe. So you put it aside. You mustn't think he was wearing his robe and he cut off one very nearby. No. It is the, so there it was. So the opportunity for him to actually kill Saul. Now, in verse 5, and I hope this will be something weird. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him. Now that is his sensitivity. Right? It troubled him. He had cut Saul's robe. Imagine. He did not hurt Saul, but he cut off Saul's robe, and it troubled him. Now, then he went on further. So he said to his men, the Lord forbid, watch this, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. See, this is Romans 13. Appointed, anointed by the Lord. This is absolutely important. Okay, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Now, that is what we don't see. He's not anointed. We reject. It's not for you to reject. It's for the Lord to appoint. This is important. So if the Lord will appoint, then the Lord's anointing is on him. You hit the Lord's anointed, you bring judgment to yourself. Why would we want to do that? Right, this we have to be enlightened over here. So David restrained his servants with these words, did not allow them to rise against Saul. It's important. See, sometimes we spread our feelings of animosity to others. This is David says, don't, stop, don't do this. Because this is something that we need to understand and appreciate. And this is absolutely important for us. So let's look again further. Okay, look at this very, very carefully. And chapter 26 now. Right? So Abishai, so this time the same thing. Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. Abner, his men, lay all around him. So Abishai said to David, same thing. Now this is Abishai. He has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please, let me strike him. David, you don't strike him. I do it. So you are not guilty. I will strike him. And he said, no, I will strike him once with a spear, right to the earth. I will not have to strike him a second time. Just once. Let me kill him. This is Abishai. How about that? David, you are absolved. Okay? It's not your sin. It's not your problem. It's mine. And David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. Number one. Who can stretch out his hand against a Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Now that's a heavy word. And be guiltless. We are guilty. This is wrong. Okay? So even if it's not David, this is Abishai. Cannot, because he would be held guilty too. So David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him. Why don't you leave it to the Lord? The Lord shall strike him. All his days shall come to die. He shall go out to battle and he will perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. So this is 24 and 26. Please take now the spear, the jug of water by his head and let us go. So David took the spear, the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. No man saw or knew it or awoke. They were all asleep. Why? Because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. This was a big test. Big test for David. Okay? Abishai says, you don't strike, I strike. Just once. All possible. Everybody asleep. Why just kill the king? Why not kill everybody? They're all asleep. And David said no. Why? Principle. Commandment. This is the Lord's anointed. This is Romans 13. This is the Lord's anointed. It cannot be done. To do it is to be guilty. To do it is to sin against the Lord. Please, let's be very, very careful about things like that. Right? So this is something that we need to be very, very, very careful about, and we want to be sure that it doesn't go that way. This is important. We must do it the Lord's way. This is absolutely important. Okay? So this is 1 Samuel 24:26, and then, of course, there it is. Okay, so these are important things for us to understand. So if you take a look at the powers that be, the same. All right, there was Assyria, there was Babylon, there was Medo-Persia, there was the Greeks, now the Romans. All these things were actually prophesied ahead of time, and everything came to pass as God said it would, which means to say He is involved. So if the Lord is involved in all the setting up of governments, be very, very careful. So we've got to see the Lord's hand in everything, rather than not. Right? The challenge is to have faith to see God's hand, rather than to react on a personal level. But remember, the personal reaction can lead you to go in conflict with God. Me, I don't want to. I fear the Lord. Two, I would rather walk in obedience to God and live under whatever government it may be. That's how He works, right? So whatever the case may be, we live in tumultuous time. So all the time. We don't know what's going to happen next. As we all, you see, most of our thinking is, is it in my favor? If it's in my favor, it's good. If it's not in my favor, it's no good. Sorry, that's not how we are to approach our faith and the application of our faith in life. This is important. Me, I would rather apply my faith. God is in overall control. Talk about the mind of Christ. That's how it is. And the Lord Jesus Christ submitted Himself to whatever, including death, including torture, and yet fulfilled God's plan. That is faith. And it's not easy, because so much of us is against, and I don't like, we have our own so-called refined sense of right and wrong. But the only one we ought to look at is simply the Lord's Word. How do we understand the word authority? Four times mentioned. Two, there is a direct command from the Lord, every soul be subject. How do we overcome this? We can't. We either understand the Lord's Word, obey, or we are in disobedience. You choose. Not easy. Yes, go ahead. please.
I think we all can understand the need for authority and to comply with authority. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is it's so difficult to accept. Because if you look at the likes of Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, then you must then say, God's hands are washed in blood.
It is a way, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it's difficult to accept that.
Go back to the whole thing here. Let's look at the book of Daniel. I mean, let's look at the book of Daniel. It appears to be, I think this is important. It seems as if God is at fault. No, He's not. Okay, so let's look at the book of Daniel, and we will see how the first GEP is here. Watch this, chapter 1. Young man, no blemish, good looking, gifted wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, ability to serve. Then they pick them, select them, and train them so that they will one day rule, help the king to rule Babylon and a whole vast empire. Yeah, this is important for us to understand. Okay, now, this is something that we want to. So we read, God was there. Verse 9, God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. You know, and so there he is. So Daniel rose up to wherever it was that he went up to. And he was there. And he was 10 times better, 120. And he continued until the first year of King Cyrus. If Daniel had not been there in high government position, it would have been really bad for the situation. But he was there. The challenge is to be where we can play the greatest influence for good. You see, the danger is we all are afraid of politics because what it is. We should be there to say, let me tilt this in the favor of that which is good and right and God. Why can't we do that? Well, this is Daniel's example of what it is. Nehemiah, the same, right? If he had not been where he was, Jerusalem, the Jews would not have been able to come back. But he was a governor. If only we would dare to do that. To have people who are in position of authority and able to influence in the right way. If only we can do that. Why can't we do that? I mean, this is important. Now, so sometimes the question is raised. And the question raised is, why bad things happen to good people? And I think someone wrote and said, you know, that's asking the wrong question. What happens to good people when bad things happen to them? That is a better question. What happens to good people when bad things happen to them? And you know what? They become better. Job 23, I shall come forth as gold. You see, the challenge is to see how the difficulties in life help us to become better people. This is how we learn. Like Job says, though he slays me, I will trust him. Easier said than done, but possible. So the whole challenge is, this is where God said to, right from the beginning, I am going to give you the earth. And that earth was given to men to look after, not destroy. But all in the name of business, all in the name of good of mankind, we are ending up destroying the earth. So it's not God's fault. All the things that happen. There could have been people who could have stopped Hitler, who could have stopped Mussolini, could have stopped Stalin. They didn't. They just sat down there because they wanted to see what happens. One, there are too many people who are scared. Two, there are not enough good people who are courageous enough to say, this is where the buck stops. It took forever the Americans to come into the Second World War conflict because they don't want to be involved. This is not our fight. Until the Japanese made a mistake, bombed Pearl Harbor. And then they said, listen, this is not only better. We are going to fight them, and this is how it is. And it is tough. I mean, there was one person who was there, and this was a story told of Corrie ten Boom. I think this is something why I'm just really, really moved by this Corrie ten Boom story. The ten Boom family from grandfather's time. From grandfather's time, 100 years before the Second World War came in. They said, you know, we must pray for God's people. They are still God's people, no matter how bad they may be. We're going to help them. And the ten Boom family was they constantly helped literally hundreds of Jews to escape from Holland. Otherwise, they would have died. Now, Betsy, her sister, Corrie herself, were in Ravensbrück. Every day, the soldiers would put them up, strip them. And 10 times she remembered those incidents in the square, and it was cold. One, to humiliate them. Two, to rape them. And it was tough. I mean, it was really, really tough. So Betsy herself, her own sister. And it was really, really a tough time when you're going through all those things here. You know what they did? They prayed. You know what they did? So before they didn't know whether they will ever get out. The two sisters said to them, you know what we're going to do when we get out, if we get out? Our commitment must be to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We must never stop. The failure of the church is we do not proclaim the good news to the world. That is our big problem. And so, after they prayed together, the next week, Betsy died, executed. By accident, Corrie ten Boom was released. And one day, when she was speaking at a meeting, the person who was their guard came up. She shared about faith in the Lord, shared about God's forgiveness, shared about God's love. This man came up to her and didn't recognize her. She recognized him. And do you think God can forgive me? I brutalized many. I raped many. Is there real forgiveness? And for a moment, she was stuck. She was just... This was the same jailer who raped the sister. Is forgiveness real or not? Just 10 seconds, the longest 10 seconds in her life. She went up to him and said, yes, God can forgive. Do you know who I am? And I forgive you. You know, sometimes we look at all the brutality and the thousands of people, the millions of people. Germany killed many people. Now they're trying to deny the Holocaust. But for every Jew that they kill, every person that they kill, Germany paid dearly. They say 6 million people died. What was the total casualty of Germany? 6 million people. God will see that justice is done. Why we want to bring ourselves hurt? See, it's not easy. I mean, we all understand this. We all recognize the difficulty. The challenge is to find that faith to say, you know, I can see God's hand and I'm going to believe in God. And I'm going to exercise this faith, Romans 12. I'm going to use my gifts and I'm going to proclaim this. There was a man called Toyotomi. Toyotomi was one of the physicists who actually helped the Americans to build the atom bomb. And so it was dropped, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. After the thing was over, they flew over to see the devastation that was there. See, sometimes you calculate, you don't see the actual effect. The moment he saw that, the very next day he resigned. I met this man many years ago. He came to Singapore. He says, you know what I'm doing right now? I owe a big debt to Japan. And I am going to share the gospel. This was a Dr. Toyotomi. And so he says, this is how I want to share. And his commitment was to share that gospel in Japan until he dies. I met him and he was an old wizened guy. He says, I was one of the people who helped design that bomb. And I cannot, and tears came. For weeks, he couldn't sleep because of the devastation that was there. So when the Japanese, all the cruelties that they did, they paid dearly. And every time we sin against the Lord like that, we will pay dearly for our own sins. Me, I would rather not. I do not want to be held guilty over these things here because it will hurt out at the end of the day. It's not easy. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Easy to practice faith. It's not. It really is not. I think we all understand that. But the challenge is, what do we have? This is the Lord's word. Do we even understand God? We can't. Seriously. Are God's hands blood full of blood? No. Men's hands are full of blood. We are the ones who make the wrong decisions. And we expect God to stop us from doing bad. It's not going to happen. because we are held responsible. And we often think that God is obliged to stop us from doing that which is bad. No, it's not going to work that way. We're going to be responsible for our own action. And whatever happens, it's going to happen. Right? I mean, this is important. So when you all teach, you teach all the students you can, you give everyone, some will still fail. And you know, you don't want to go and beat your own head and say, you know, I should have done it. What's the point? To me, it's a reality of life. I look at life and, you know, I think this is very important. I was just reading a story about a man. See, he likes to read. So he read a lot about philosophy. He became a philosopher. Then he read a lot about mathematics. He became a mathematician. Then he read about swimming. And he drowned. See, there are certain things you can do, and there are certain things you cannot do. Just because you read about swimming doesn't make you a swimmer. You can be a philosopher, you can be a mathematician. If you read about swimming, you drown. I mean, that is a reality. Who's to be blamed? The books, the reader? Come on, you're responsible. Sorry, you're going to say something.
Okay, yeah. So in all the examples you use...
The what?
I said in all the examples you used... Germany paid the price.
Yes.
6 million of their people died. But it was humans. Somebody went against Germany.
Yes.
Point one.
Yes.
Point two. So if we rise up against a government that we think is evil or unacceptable,
okay,
we are in disobedience.
This is government against government.
Yeah. But, okay, government against government. So internally, if we... disobey.
Yeah.
I mean, if we go against a government that we think is inherently evil, we are in disobedience.
Okay.
But we're in this... I'm sorry. I am in disobedience anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I know that.
Yes.
Yes.
So?
What happens to us?
I'm just talking about me.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? So if I have an appointed government and I disagree with them, and I disagree with them so fundamentally that I rise up in...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
And do whatever I want, okay? I am in disobedience of God.
No.
But my point is, I'm in disobedience anyway.
Yeah, right. So that's why we all have problems. That's why we all have problems in our life. The problems will never go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No problem.
You see, that's what I'm trying to say. We will end up with problems and difficulties we wish we don't have. The problems and the difficulties in our life will come because we walk in total disobedience. Right? Remember the philosopher, mathematician, and the swimmer. See, the reality of it is because I read about swimming, I go and jump in, I'm going to drown. And that is how it works. I mean, this is where we go. So there will always be, one, the problem of guilt. What God will do with it, I don't know. But I will tell you something. There will be a danger to the growth of your own soul and of your own faith. That's one of the things that will happen. Yeah, go ahead.
I struggle with this very much. I must confess.
Sure.
If I'm a guard in the death camp, that exterminates Jews.
Yeah.
So you're saying that I'm under instruction by my generals to kill Jews, so I have to obey.
Yeah. No.
Even against my conscience.
No, I think that was what it is. There were many Germans who were not Gestapo. There were many Germans who were not Gestapo. I don't have to be Gestapo. I don't have to be GRU. Right? I don't have to be KGB. I am still Jew. I am still Russian. Why can't I be? You see, we have to look at the extreme forms. But what does it mean? I will see you in the days of Rome. Simon the Zealot. They were called the Sicarii. Why? Because they carry a knife with them. They see a German on the road. That guy is dead. So what happened to the Romans? They see one of the soldiers died, the entire village is wiped out because of one person who doesn't like that Roman. But you can put at risk the whole village because you don't like that person? You can't. This is a difficult thing. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. It's not easy for Corrie Ten Boom. But all of us have a choice we want to make. If we choose to go against, we can die. We can choose and say, I want to live in obedience to God and accept the difficulties. It's not easy. But this is our faith. Yeah, Grace, go ahead. Can I get a mic here? Listen, I'm not going to give you all easy answers. There are no easy answers. Yeah.
I think we are all struggling with some of these things.
Sure.
My question is, number one,
yeah,
would there be exceptions to this biblical imperative?
Like what?
For example, following the line of Chong Hin,
yeah,
if I'm conscripted into the Gestapo and I have no choice about that.
No, no, there are choices. You die.
Okay.
Yeah, you can die. I can die.
Okay, so which means that the resistance in inverted commas is I choose not to be in it and I'll just take the consequences.
Correct. But you see, the danger is, I don't like you, you're going to lose your head. Do you know there were many people who became murderers like that? Corrie Ten Boom's family chose not to do the way. They chose to help people escape. See, they chose to. They also paid the penalty for going against the government. But you see, they chose to save life rather than to choose to organize resistance to go and fight them. Okay, this is what happens. You see, every time you look at the let's say we call it the resistance fighters, right? Look at the French resistance. In every country, there's so-called resistance going on. What happens? Everybody pays a terrible penalty for the so-called resistance. And this is a reality. Were there resistance people in Japan? Yes. Were there people who were not kamikaze? Yes. Were there people who were honored? Yes. You look at the so-called crusades, that was Saladin. Right? There were people who fight with honor. There are people who don't. That's a lot of difference. You see? Yeah.
Pastor.
Yes.
I understand your teaching about exercising faith and using our gift. I've just got back from Berlin and I visited Sachsenhausen. The Sachsenhausen is the torture chamber and concentration camp. Concentration camp.
Concentration camp, yes.
And what happens in the city was that a lot of people got killed.
Yes.
And the question was, how come the whole city didn't do anything?
No, I think this
so
is
So you
important.
Mentioned about the man's hand is full of blood.
Yeah.
And that we should be subject to the authority.
Yeah.
So I can't reconcile.
Yeah. Okay.
If the authority is bad,
okay,
why should we be subjected to
it? Now this is a very important. It's a question of how we respond. First and foremost, how would Daniel respond? Look at the Babylonians and look at the indictment that the Lord spoke against them. Read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read Zephaniah, which is the next book coming up. God will judge them. Let God be the judge, not us. See, this is important. We want to play judge, jury, hangman. We can't. We will end up in total disobedience against God's rule. I think this is important for us. See, the problem is we like to give an opinion, and even if the opinion is not a fully informed opinion, we still do it. See, the challenge is to exercise our faith. How do we understand our faith?
Pastor, I think regarding this example I'm going to give, I'm not too sure. Maybe an example where God is forgiving, in a sense that during the time of Moses, when Pharaoh says that, you know, all babies, male babies, would be killed.
Yes.
But the midwives went against Pharaoh,
right.
And God actually blessed Israel.
You know,
so how in this case?
But they were right. The Hebrew women are stronger. Before they came, they'd be born already.
Yeah, but they went against, they didn't drown the babies.
But see, they went against, that's true, because you are a midwife. The baby born, what do I do? Nothing. Hi, bye, I see you.
What about Moses' mother? She also chose
to disobey. What you do? You know what the midwife is supposed to do? Prevent the babies from being born. In other words, it will die in the womb. That's what they were told to do. But if the babies are born, there was no law against that. So by technicality, they were not guilty.
Oh.
That's what it means. You see the baby, stop them, the mother from giving birth. That's the whole idea. But when is it too late? The baby born already. You see, so the Lord's grace and mercy is there.
So Moses' mom also disobeyed, right?
They all were in danger. You see, what's wrong? Say, see God's hand in everything. And that little baby that was meant to die became Moses. Mm. You see, this, we got to see God's hand. Without seeing God's hand, we can't see it. The challenge is our faith. Can I see God's hand in everything? And it would be wonderful if we could. See God's hand in everything. It's not easy, but that is a challenge of our faith. Okay, we close here. We'll Then next week you teach. Exercise mercy. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we love you for the God that you are. We thank you for grace and mercy because we know that we find it so hard as we struggle with all these challenges of life. And yet we know your word too. It teaches how to have a faith that is stronger, a mind that is wiser, a spirit and a soul that is nobler. Teach us, Father, we pray, how to rise above our circumstances and to submit ultimately to who you are, your word, your authority, and to see your hand in everything. And bless, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.